gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. I am your host, Lisa Burton, for Scare Blast podcast. And today I am joined by
Joe Ruffner,
who is a producer at the Second City Comedy Theater and a man about town. Very popular guy, Mr. Joe Ruffner. And today we are talking about the movie The Skeleton Key, which Joe Ruffner has chosen for today. And Joe, let me ask you to start off. Do you like scary movies?
I do. I don't know that I necessarily seek them out, but I especially like ones that... like this one, that require a little more brain power, maybe. Thoughtful, scary movies.
Okay. And then why specifically did you choose this scary movie? Had you seen this before?
I had, and I don't know that I would have gone to this one. It's funny because in doing my research on it, I had seen The Ring, which was written by the same guy, but The Ring was a remake. I only saw this movie initially because I was invited to a preview screening, I believe.
Okay.
And was like, why not? The trailer did not look like something that would appeal to me. Mm-hmm. It looked like a little bit of a Ring ripoff.
Yeah.
There was that trend of horror films. This is 10 years ago now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I sort of begrudgingly went, but it kind of satisfied my dark side in a way. I'll say that the audience did not know how to respond to the ending of this film. And all I could do was laugh.
In my kitchen, there's hard to be running out the door.
Okay, so let's quick go through the... will you take us through a brief synopsis of this movie?
So Kate Hudson plays a hospice nurse who is frustrated with her job, haunted by the death of her father, who she could not save.
Haunted, how appropriate.
A little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And she ends up answering a want ad for a personal hospice nurse in a old house in the swamps of New Orleans. And pretty quickly catches on that something's not quite right in the house, that the old man that she's supposed to be helping die maybe doesn't think he's dying or is trying to escape. It's an elderly couple that she's helping, and as she starts getting drawn into a little bit of a world of magic, she's warned by several friends to get out before she starts believing, because that's apparently the only way that they can get you, is if you start believing. But by then, it's almost too late.
The atmosphere of it is really great. The coloration of the film is beautiful. Because it's Louisiana, I feel like it's everything you want in a scary, spooky story. You don't necessarily, the first time through, know exactly how it's going to end.
No. We should mention, for film buffs out there, the casting of this movie is incredible. Not only is Jenna Rollins, John Cassavetes' widow and star of most of his films, playing Violet Devereaux, but John Hurt amazingly agreed to do a film in which I think he might have one line.
Yeah, maybe. Like, barely. And it's, like, eked out of his stroke-ridden mouth, where he's like...
That's the strobe-ly bedridden and making facial expressions.
Yes. And, but he does such a great job. Like, it's clear he's struggling. And is her name pronounced Jenna or Gina? I don't know. Virginia.
I think it's Jenna. I've always pronounced her Jenna. Yeah. Jenna Rollins, yeah.
Either way, she... She is either winning or just won an Academy Award, like an honorary Academy Award for her roles in film. And then she's won 2 Emmys and a Golden Globe Award, because her career, just again, for film buffs, like, her career has spanned 6 decades or something. I mean, she's just this accomplished actress.
See, a woman under the influence. She plays Peter Falk's wife, and it's really, it's yeah, it's
75 or something. Yeah, that film came out. Yeah, just an amazing cast. The cast is just
spectacular. Peter Sarsgaard is the other, is the yes, lawyer.
The lawyer, yeah. And he's a young lawyer that comes and is helping this couple yes. as well on this big old plantation. And Jenna Rowlands, there are little hints that are dropped near the beginning when Caroline Ellis, Kate Hudson's character, comes to the plantation. There are different hints that are dropped where Violet Devereaux keeps asking her things like, well, you know, or she'll say, you probably have your body all inked up too, don't you? And she says, you kids today probably have your body all inked up. And you're like, why is she inquiring such personal fucking information? and for sure, you know, you find out at the end she wants her body because she's going to perform a hoodoo act called the Conjure of Sacrifice. Yes. So she's going to basically put her soul into Kate Hudson's body.
Much like the plot of Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin's All of Me.
Yes. Or 13 but going to 30.
To yeah. less comic effect.
she asks her all of these super.
Well, not only she asks her, she almost there's almost an accusatory fashion because the other spoiler is Peter Sarsgaard mm-hmm. is already the vessel for the soul of the older gentleman.
Yeah,
and so there's almost a little bit like they've lured this woman into their web, and Jenna Rowlands Violet is judging his choice of yeah. woman. Because she clearly, obviously she's skeptical as to why he would pick this particular woman. Yeah. She's adorable.
Yeah.
But also, as we realize, relatively late in the film, they are originally two African-American
yeah.
people. And she specifically states that she wants to be a black woman again.
Yes.
And is constantly being thwarted because,
yeah.
big key part of the film, yeah. black women tend to leave the house.
Uh-huh.
As unfortunately, they do get a little bit of short shrift in this film. I think it may have had some accusations of racism.
Yeah.
But all of Kate Hudson's black friends tell her, get out of that house.
Yes.
Every time she speaks to a black woman, they're like, are toiling with things you do not need to be toiling with.
Exactly. They do talk a lot about how the women, you know, the black women in the area would know better, basically. Yeah, yes. It's like, these black women in the area know better, so we have to get one of these stupid white girls in here.
Well, she says, Kate Hudson says to her nurse friend, Jill, it can't hurt you if you don't believe. Jill's response is, yeah, well, you better get out of there before you start believing.
Yes. And
which, as it turns
eventually
out...
eventually, she ends up believing, yeah. even though she says over and over, I don't believe.
Practicing hoodoo
yeah,
in order
yeah.
to fight hoodoo, you believe.
Yes. Which also, I mean, voodoo has more of a religious connotation, so yes. this is some of yes. what I learned. Like, voodoo is a more religious thing. Hoodoo, which is practiced widely in the South, is an African, specifically African-American magic
right.
That's developed from West African cultures, from Native American cultures, and collectively European cultures as well, which I thought was really neat. And just my research of that magic, it's also called, hoodoo is also known as like a conjure magic. It's also known as like root magic because they use a lot of root and plant life and those things, you know, natural sort of sacrificial organic matter to create the magic that they create, which I also thought was very interesting and a really neat thing to explore in a film like this. Because it is so, I don't know, wrapped up in American culture and such an important part, I think, of the relationship between, in this film, they talk specifically about the relationship between the plantation owners and the slaves that they had right. or the servants that they had in that house. Because what ends up happening, the story you find out is that Mama Cecile,
horrifying.
Yes,
just horrifying. There's no way Totally get it. That's not horrifying.
Right. It's horrifying. Mama Cecile and Papa Justify, who were... those are great names.
Great characters.
The best names. Great character names. The best names of it.
And the actors that play them, really, very little screen time.
Yeah.
And they're great.
And they are great. The woman, that actress, Jerrol Prescott, she has a recurring role in The Walking Dead and in a number of these TV series, Powers, which is another comic book series made for TV now.
I didn't realize that.
So she's getting to be a little bit bigger actress. But, yeah, those two have the best names. They ended up, like, you know, way back in the day at, like, an obscure date. They don't ever give,
it's like turn of the century, right?
Yeah, yes. Right? There's a big party at the plantation, and they talk the two little kids into learning some hoodoo, and they bring the two little kids upstairs to learn some hoodoo, and no sooner do they do that and sort of teach them some hoodoo that the whole party comes upstairs and finds their two little white kids sitting in the middle of this hoodoo circle that their two black servants are there, you know.
Apparently in a drugged stupor of some sort. Eyes rolling back in their heads.
In a drugged stupor, and so they take their black servants and they lynch them on the front lawn.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Which is...
with the children watching on.
The children watching on. Again,
which is
horrifying.
In and of itself, horrifying. Yes. And then, of course, you pile it on with the reveal, which then, this is kind of what made me laugh in my twisted sense of humor, that these have... They're clearly through the hoodoo, they had switched bodies with the children.
Yeah.
And so it was actually the children who were being lynched.
Again.
By their parents.
Adding on that layer of horrifying.
Not that it was not horrifying.
Right. To like, begin with.
There's this, and that's where I kind of laugh at the maybe poetic justice.
Right.
If
totally.
Every person who ever lynched somebody
was
found out later
children.
They were lynching their own children, which there is a beautiful semblance to
there
that.
There is, yeah.
Because it is awful, is it?
Right.
But just that reveal.
Crazy scene.
Buried so well within the film, so that that's just something you revisit where you're like,
oh my god.
They had this plotted out and have been carrying out this plot for 100 years.
Right. You know what I loved about this is that to me, it was the fear, and this is probably just where I'm at in my life too, it's the fear of not having enough time. So to me, the fear in this movie that really got to me this watch, this time around, was the fear of having your time cut short somehow and being so aware.
Whoa.
Being aware of all of your
being
time.
All of a sudden you're an old lady.
Yeah, how thinking you're like...
You're 25-year-old Kate Hudson.
Exactly! You're 25-year-old Kate Hudson. Hot smoking bod. This girl
underpants,
so hot.
The underpants they put her in?
Yeah. Oh,
I remembered those distinctly 10 years later.
Oh.
Like, yep. Remember those underpants.
I know, like, funny, those boy short, like, she's got those, and then I'm like, Kate Hudson, you and that cute ass. And she's got this cute, like, she's got this cute athletic line out now. Anyway,
there
good.
You go.
A whole
she's,
athletic
She's doing
outfit.
Okay.
She's doing
she's
great.
She's doing okay.
But yeah, she, so having that life, and then having it, then all of a sudden your soul being put into an old lady's body. And
not only an old lady's body, and this is what really jarred me up watching it this time, her efforts to escape from Jenna Rollins, despite constantly going back into the house instead of getting out of it, which was a little bit contrived, but I think well done.
Uh-huh. I did too. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about this director, but the writer is actually
totally.
Screwed.
Yes.
She busts up, she knocks Jenna Rollins down a balcony.
Yes.
Breaks her legs.
Breaks both legs in this.
Which is like great move until you realize, she's going to be inhabiting that body, and she's going to be not only Jenna Rollins, she would have broken legs.
Yes. She's now going to be in an old lady's body with broken goddamn legs.
Like her best move.
And unable to speak.
Her. Oh, it's
so creepy and so horrifying.
Time's coming. It's gonna be so. You can't make the winner be. Let's try long.
Okay, Joe, you can do hoodoo. What type of body would you choose next? What type of person would you trick?
Ooh, boy. Well, I'm already young and debonair, so that is a tricky question. I guess somebody, you know, somebody who would dance. I think somebody who, so that I could see if I feel like no matter how much passion I have to try any real physical, not just dancing. Yeah. Let's talk about like playing volleyball well.
Sure.
somebody with an athletic physique and shorter, because I feel like I can be unwieldy, my 6+ feet. and I'd be curious to know if I put the effort in and actually worked out and would I be able to have that balance, or is it something that I'm never going to have, even if my soul were to inhabit the body of a 22-year-old Olympian?
That's great.
That would be different enough.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Trivia questions.
Okay.
So,
yes.
This movie is written by a guy named Aaron Kruger.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a number of different films. What recent franchise is Aaron Kruger most famous for writing the second through fourth film of?
Would you believe this is also my first review?
No! Okay,
and for a second, I didn't remember the answer.
Let's say it together,
two,
ready?
2, 3, and 4. Transformers!
Yes!
None of
which I've seen either. Do you know why? Because they're probably god-awful.
Right?
So I've heard.
And it's very fascinating that, again, I was saying he wrote The Ring, which were, I think Ring 2 was a remake.
He
right?
was one of three rewriters on Ringu.
Ah,
Ring,
is that
Ring.
What it was?
Yes.
Rewriter.
So
okay.
Ringu is the original written, it's a Japanese horror.
Yes.
And that one, was rewritten by three screenwriters, one of which was the original Japanese screenwriter, and then Aaron Kruger, and then a third who I can't name, I don't know. But
and it's Aaron, E-H-R-I-N.
E-H-R-E-N.
Oh, sorry.
E-H-R-E-N,
yeah.
Yes.
A
Aaron.
Fascinating way to spell that.
Yeah, and Aaron, I mean, I don't know how to say it. Yeah. Aaron? I'm guessing
Aaron as well.
But yeah, he wrote Transformers 2 through 4.
He also wrote a wonderful thriller called Arlington Road. Are you familiar?
I am not familiar.
I would recommend it, having seen this, with this caveat, is that the plots are not... The trick of the plot of this movie is very similar. And as soon as I realized that he had written Arlington Road, it's another movie that... I'd be curious to review it, knowing what I know about how it ends.
Interesting.
And that it might be a little contrived.
Sure.
That something else is at play, that you don't realize it, and it's again playing with the audience's perception. And that film, it's, you may remember the trailers, Jeff Bridges is a FBI, CIA man whose wife was killed in a Waco-like shootout.
This seems familiar.
And his new neighbors are played by Tim Robbins.
Oh, yeah. God, Tim Robbins. Jacob Blatter, man. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the whole question is, are his neighbors spies?
Wow.
Are they, or are they even worse, say, Timothy McVeigh style?
Sure.
Terrorists.
Yeah, yeah.
And it plays with a lot of the same kind of belief disbelief.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bridges gets drawn into whether or not, and the reveal of that movie is similarly changes everything in the film, and once it all kicks into place, you realize that somebody has become a victim to their own curiosity, which is...
You know, the writing of this really got bashed when Skeleton Road, Arlington Road.
Yeah.
When Skeleton Key came out in 2005,
yes.
The writing really got bashed. The atmosphere and the actors both got a lot of praise because clearly, like, all of that was fantastic. But yeah, the writing was really bashed in the reviews. But I will say, at the end of this, just that I felt like it was so... I could not have written a better, or I don't know if I've seen a better physical struggle between the moment that Kate Hudson realizes exactly what's going on to the moment that she is tricked into doing the hoodoo spell on herself.
Yes.
Which, by the way, she is tricked into doing the spell on herself.
Which, again, veers a little into that, like, boy, did they really put all of these pieces into place?
Yes.
Or is this a screenwriter who's just checking things off?
Right, yes.
But it is.
But I thought that whole thing was, it was great because, like, the struggle of it felt real. I really thought that there was no part of that struggle in that where I was like, oh my God, like, she's not going to get out of this. At every step of the way, I was like, she's going to get out. Yep. She'll escape this way. Yeah. And then it didn't work.
I was actively rooting for her to do that spell.
There's even a part where she takes a boat away from the plantation. She rides in a boat. And you're like, good, she got away. She got out. Nope. She runs into the lawyer.
She reads law, estate law for dummies.
Yep. She runs into that guy.
And that's that for me, that scene is the reveal of the film. And that's what I cannot remember if that revealed everything to me in that moment. I don't know that I realized why the lawyer then turned at that point.
Right.
Which I'd like to think I had that all put together. But 10 years, I've had my memory fails me. And distinctly remember it all coming together.
Yeah. I really thought, I was like, oh, he did not get enough credit for the end of that movie. Because though the rest of it could have been, you know, I probably could have made that up, like the rest of that movie or whatever. The end of that, there's no fucking way I could have written the end of that more.
And I didn't even feel like in those reviews they were necessarily giving him a hard time for kind of using the same plot as Always Be Mode, which I also thought was a really well-written film. And I was surprised to see that this film did as successfully as it did.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, it came and it went, that I saw that screening, and then I didn't ever talk to anyone about this movie.
Yeah, sure.
Every once in a while, I'll bring it up and recommend it to people. And when I saw your list, as you know, my gut was to go with something I hadn't seen and did it for the first time. But as soon as I saw that, I said, no, I've not heard anyone talk about this movie.
Yeah.
I even looked for other podcasts where it was mentioned just to get another take in the process of my research. And it's 10 years old, but still, it just disappeared.
Yeah, Skeleton Key, man.
I think that wave of horror films did as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this one was different for me.
It's good, yeah. Okay,
what's your next
trivia question? At the end of the film, Kate Hudson's character, Caroline Ellis, she ends up accidentally performing the hoodoo conjure of sacrifice spell on herself.
The protection
spell. Sure. Well, she thinks it's a protection spell.
Well, yes.
But it's like a protection spell so that her body will be protected as a vessel for another soul.
Yikes.
So, what four items did Kate Hudson / Caroline Ellis need to complete that spell? She needs four items.
Sulfur?
Yes.
Is one of them, which is amazingly she finds very quickly, which she should have probably realized, maybe this is, I'm being set up. Hair, she cuts her own hair out.
Yeah.
Nothing like finding a lock of your own hair in your landlady's closet.
Yeah.
Blood, she cuts her hand open for that.
Which I also feel like every movie that needs blood for a thing cuts your hand in the same place. You always just take the knife.
Why is it? Because
palm.
That's where is that going to heal faster? Your
vein or something? I don't know. But it drives me crazy because I'm like, that is the most, on your palm is like the most inconvenient place to take blood. What a weird fucking place. Anyway. Okay.
And semen. No. I cannot remember the fourth.
You can't? She needs it to draw on the ground.
Oh, the chalk.
Chalk. She needs chalk. So, hair, blood, sulfur, chalk. Those four items.
Any particular reason? Or is that just hoodoo?
That's just hoodoo, I think.
What ingredients? She goes to, like, the hoodoo herbalist store, and what does she buy to make that powder that protects her?
I really do not remember what she buys to make the powder to protect
Another great plot device.
Yes.
The powder that will only protect you from somebody who is wishing to do you ill. Which it turns out, works. Seems to work.
I also was amazed. She's got two jars of it, and she runs around the house and puts it in front of every doorway. And I'm like, how the hell do you have that much of that fucking powder? You've got, I mean, two jars. She really made that last.
Now, when did you, have you seen this one before?
Yeah, I've seen it a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. I've,
that's awesome.
Again, like I said, this is one that I like.
We've never talked about it.
No, yeah. I put this on in the background when I'm just doing research.
Jenna Rollins playing Mama Cecile, playing her, whatever.
Yeah.
I just, she's going back, so, and good. It was really the first time I'd gone back and watched her. And yeah, you listen for how she's speaking.
Yeah.
I've got a fun one.
Okay.
The closing credits song. Elvis Presley, If I Can Dream.
Yeah.
Do you know what's the, what that was written, what historical event that was written
if
in response
I
to?
If I dream of a better land where all my children tell me why, oh why, oh why.
And this might be tied into the movie's, the movie as Slave Revenge.
Right. Well, was it,
If I Can Dream.
Dream of a Better Life. I mean, I think of it, Martin Luther King.
Absolutely. It was
Junior.
The assassination of Martin Luther King.
Assassination.
Yeah.
Wow.
The guy who wrote it, whose name eludes me, after watching Elvis perform it, I think they used it as a closing number on some special, and they needed a big gospel-y type hit.
Sure.
He said, I will never again write a song that I do not passionately believe
the
lyrics of. He was so moved by Elvis's performance.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a response to the MLK assassination.
That is a good trivia question.
Right? It made me wonder why they used it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, racism, man.
I mean, if they call this the Slave's Revenge, it might have been a big spoiler.
Yeah, yeah.
But the slaves do win this movie.
But we really could have called this, not the Skeleton Key, but the Slave's Revenge. Or instead,
what's his name? Mama Cecile.
Papa Justify.
Papa Justify.
Papa Justify and Mama Cecile's Justification. It was, man, like that whole part of it was
the great. Law for Dummies books was
and
the best.
Yeah, super satisfying too. So Ian Softley,
yes,
who directed this movie, another, like, I'm not one typically to do two of these types of trivia questions, but I think this is also an interesting piece. What is Ian Softley? Do you know what other movies he's known for directing?
Only one. I owned this movie and never watched it.
Okay.
Don't know that I still own it. Backbeat, which was the story of... maybe I did watch it. I think it was the story of the fifth Beatle, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I don't...
Because I think
Stephen
Dorff got a lot of acclaim for playing Pete Best. Could be completely wrong. We'll have to fact check that one.
We will fact check. Yeah, yeah.
And then
it'll
you can
be
edit
in the
it
show notes. It'll be
I'll say seven different things.
That beat. No, he is credited for directing K-Pax.
There you go.
And
that movie I avoided.
And Hackers, which I also thought super interesting.
Yeah. I'll have to refresh my memory on the plot of that. Is he British?
I don't know.
It's Ian with an extra I.
Nobody in the production
staff spells their names the way you would expect.
Yeah. And then my other, this is my last trivia question. Mama Cecile has a very specific mannerism or characteristic to her, which is definitely how you know she has taken over a body.
Is it?
Joe's doing a smoking gesture. She smokes. She smokes a very specific type of cigarette. Do you know what type she smokes?
Is it a clove?
She smokes a clove cigarette. She does. It's very good.
Yup. I know the smell of a clove cigarette. I had a friend in college who used to tell me you put a teaspoon of blood in your lungs every time you smoke one of those.
Oh, really?
That sounds like a lot of blood.
Oh, God, that sounds like so
much
blood.
Maybe a pack.
I maybe have 2 teaspoons of blood in my lungs.
Look it up.
Speaking.
I don't want the tobacco lobby coming after me. the Clove Lobby.
We'll fact check that and put that in the show notes.
My final trivia question is this interesting about this cast, not only a gangbuster foursome, but all of them known to be romantically linked to other actors. Now, I don't know that they're necessarily co-stars, but definitely other actors.
Uh-huh.
I would not be able to remember the names of the women to whom John Hurt was married, several of whom were actresses. Uh-huh. One particularly tragic story. He was with a model for 15 years, I read, who they went horseback riding and had an accident. And she went into a coma and died relatively quickly.
God.
Yeah, like his longest. But he's been married several times, twice to other actors. I could name the three, but just for the purposes of this question, name one.
Oh, of the
other three performers, romantic
entanglements.
Either Kate Hudson.
Oh, which?
Jenna Rollins. We've already mentioned.
John
Cassavetes.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kate Hudson.
I know. I should know a Kate Hudson.
This is
lover.
So celebrity gossip, right?
Yeah, I should know because these are definitely celebrity gossip ones. Gosh. Honestly, let's see. Kate Hudson. I'm going to guess. Why don't I know any of these? I don't know any of these.
I believe it was on her follow-up film. They'll give you You and Me and Dupree.
Oh, boy. A dog? Was it a dog? Is it a golden retriever?
It's not a dog.
Oh, my God. All right. Matthew McConaughey?
No.
Were they in a movie together?
They did a film together.
They sure did.
They did How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know that they were or weren't involved. I mean, if I were them, I would have.
Owen Wilson?
Very good!
Yay! Yes. I did it!
Yes.
Great.
And I'm pretty sure Mr. Sarsgaard and Maggie Gyllenhaal, maybe?
Oh, she hot.
I'm pretty sure that was a thing. But
she's
again,
so hot.
On my celebrity gossip meters, relatively low. I was clearly scrambling for a third trivia question.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Maggie Gyllenhaal is so sexy in, what is it called? The one with Will Ferrell, Stranger Than Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
That movie, Stranger Than Fiction. Mm-hmm. She is so good in that.
Chicago
I love
film.
That movie. Love that movie.
Soundtrack by Spell.
Yeah, that's a great soundtrack.
It really is.
Joe, this has been so
Thanks
lovely.
For having me.
Thank you for taking the time to come out and
really,
talk.
Really, if one person watches this movie, I'll consider this time well spent.
Watch it. It's so good. Thanks so much for sitting. Is there anything online or in October that we should be aware of that's coming up for you?
I don't know. For me specifically?
Yeah. Or where can we find you? Or
you could see the Second City Touring Company.
Yeah.
We'll be better for it.
Woohoo!
Now performing all over the country.
The internationally acclaimed Second City Comedy Theater.
At Steppenwolf Theater tonight.
Yeah, Steppenwolf. Oh, boy.
Of course. By the time you hear this. It'll be a distant memory.
Well, Joe, thanks for coming out today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye.